17, Radical Relationships. God loves even those who seem unlovable. There are many dimensions to Jesus the Radical. Yes, his teachings were radical, but his desire to be a radical influence extended far beyond his teachings. Let's consider the radical nature of his daily interactions with people. Most of the people who are at the center of the gospel narrative have no place in our lives. What does that tell us? Jesus took people whom you and I would mindlessly pass on the street, people we would never choose to be in the same room with, people from the very margins of society, and he placed them at the center of the narrative we call the gospel. They came to him in 100 guises, the sick, the poor, the despised, women, children, and sinners of every type. But in each of them, Jesus saw a child of God. There is perhaps no more powerful example of this than the woman at the well. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Everyone, the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Romans, despised the Samaritans. So what did Jesus do? He gave them a central place in the gospel. First, there is the Good Samaritan parable, which has made the name Samaritan synonymous with good work and mercy. For 2,000 years, every kind act towards a stranger has carried the Good Samaritan name. Then, here in this story, Jesus encountered not just a Samaritan, but a Samaritan woman, and not just a Samaritan woman, but a Samaritan woman who had been divorced several times. Jesus was truly on the fringes of the social structure when he decided to strike up a conversation with this woman. Even her own people looked down on her. The stigma attached to this woman was monumental, making the lesson all the more powerful. Did Jesus just politely say hello to her? No. Did he have a shallow conversation with her? No. This is the longest recorded conversation between Jesus and any other human being. Think about that. Jesus' attitude toward people was radically different because he saw in every man, woman, and child a child of God. We could talk more about the various and unlikely people Jesus spent his time with, but I think the point is well made. He made a radical choice to spend time with people on the fringes of society, and his interactions with them were radical. Jesus also had a close circle of friends, the people he did life with, and whom he chose for his inner circle is another example of the radical way he did things. In those days, he departed to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. If Jesus had come to you and said, "These are the 12 guys I have chosen to change the world," you probably would have questioned his judgment. The disciples were an unlikely group of men, not the all-star leadership team that most of us would want if our intention were to start a movement that would transform the entire world and everyone in it in every imaginable way. Sure, the gospel is primarily a call to spiritual transformation, but the implications of that spiritual transformation reach into every corner of life and society. Jesus completely rejected the social norms of the day when he chose the people he spent time with. And I suspect he would do the same if he were alive today. What does that teach us about the people we spend our time with? There are two lessons here for us. First, we need a group of people to do life with, people who walk with us through the good and the bad, who encourage and challenge us to be the best version of ourselves. Second, Jesus made a habit of going out of his way to engage people on the fringe of society. He didn't spend all his time with them. He had his close friends and inner circle. The point is, he never avoided people on the edge of society, and in fact, even willingly encountered them. Where are these people in your life? The Gospels are an invitation to explore all of life, to get beyond the comfortable center of life and explore the margins. The parts of life we avoid and ignore are the very parts that Jesus was most interested in. The types of people we avoid and ignore are the types of people Jesus was most interested in. What does that say about our lives? How does that invite us to change? What prevents us from changing? What are we afraid of? And have we even considered the other side of the question? Rather than always framing it negatively, what are the positive possibilities that might come about if we open ourselves to more fully embrace the gospel? Point to ponder. Every person is as important and valuable as the person you consider most important and valuable. Verse to live. Give justice to the weak and the orphan. Maintain the right of the lowly and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Psalm 82, verses 3 and 4. Question to consider. What is God saying to you through this teaching today? Prayer. Jesus, open my eyes so I can see every person I encounter each day as you see them.